Our second feature this week was written by Emma Brennan. She recalls her childhood days exploring the local woods and being inspired by her I Spy books. Here is Neil Haverson again to read her memories.
Since the summer set in with a vengeance, I have written at length about memories associated with the seaside. But after more than a few very hot days, it got me thinking back to the alternative school holiday destinations for heat-averse children like myself. When it became uncomfortably warm, we would invariably head for the cooling shade of our nearest woodland. Even if it meant an uphill cycle ride to get there, it would be worth the huffing and puffing to sit and eat our sandwiches under the leafy canopy of the trees. These days, the mental health benefits of walking among trees are well documented. But when I was a child, a visit to the woods or forest was one of a limited number of activities that cost us nothing and allowed us to let our imagination and our legs run free. From building dens to conjuring up stories about which creatures inhabited the many holes in the banks or nooks in the tree trunks, we enjoyed hours of endless fun without any form of organised entertainment. There were secret paths lined with new plants to discover, ranging from delicately coloured wildflowers and highly scented wild garlic to the otherworldly fungi. These days there are forest schools to teach youngsters practical skills such as how to build a shelter, safely manage campfires and tie knots, alongside nurturing confidence and independence. In our days, these skills were learned from books or passed on by our parents and grandparents. When Mum was a child in the 1940s, there was no such thing as forest school. Instead, nature walks were part of the weekly school curriculum and helped to nurture a natural love of the outdoors. Mum said, "We would make things inspired by what we'd seen, including little woodland scenes with tiny toadstools made from acorn cups and moss. It was really magical and has stuck in my memory." When I was a child, we would venture to the woods with nothing other than our egg and cress sandwich in a Tupperware tub and an I Spy book for backup. I've written before about how much of my countryside knowledge came from Ladybird books, but the I Spy series, which was sold via our school book club, provided the spotter's guides for a huge range of topics. The books were originally created by Charles Worrell in 1948, and apart from a seven-year hiatus, have been published ever since. The idea was that as children spotted the objects listed in the books, they recorded their sightings and gained points. My I Spy books about woodland and hedgerows proved very useful companions in the 1970s. My love of woodland was encouraged by my grandfather, who was a quiet, gentle, country-loving man. He would take my sister and me for walks, pointing out various wildlife as we went. With I Spy books in hand, we would search out items pictured in the books, asking Grandad for more detailed information on each. This made visiting the woods into a game that was also educational. For example, Grandad would tell us in no uncertain terms that we were to assume fungi could kill us if we ate them, so toadstools were best observed and admired in situ. Of course, it wasn't all about learning. As the holidays progressed towards the end of August and the hazelnuts began to ripen in the hedges, Grandad would bring along some nutcrackers and the picnic salt pot. We'd hunt through the hedgerows, pick the nuts, crack them and eat them on the spot. My impatience frequently led to me forgoing the nutcrackers and resorting to my teeth to free the kernels from the shells. "You'll crack your teeth if you keep that up," Grandad would say. Another family haunt was a forest about an hour's drive from home. Mum recalls going there for picnics when she was younger, and this continued into her teenage years and later with Dad. I loved this place on a hot day, although then as now, there was a high fire risk in the tinder dry conditions of 1976, which precluded the use of our beloved gas bottle and whistling kettle to make proper tea outdoors. Dad would begrudgingly resort to a flask so as not to fall foul of the forest rangers. There were no conveniences here, no zip wires to obstacle courses like you get today. And if you needed to spend a penny, you had to venture deep enough among the pine trees so as not to be seen, but not so far that you couldn't find your way out again. My sister and I would act as lookouts for each other, placed sensibly equidistant between the picnickers and the penny spenders. On one occasion, I persuaded my Nan, who didn't share Grandad's enthusiasm for flora and fauna, to go with me as the lookout. I was surprised to hear her excitedly exclaim that she had discovered an unusual giant toadstool. After careful examination, the rare specimen turned out to be a pancake, discarded by a picnicker, caught up on a stick. Maybe not the groundbreaking mycological discovery we had hoped for, but it did cause a lot of merriment.
Thank you, Neil.